Join us as Pastor Ron Duty teaches of God's immense love for us and that he became man so that we may have a relationship with him for eternity. Let us reflect on God's gift that is manifested in Christmas.
In Psalm 8, verse 1, it says, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Who has set thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and suckling hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest steal the enemy and the avenger. When I consider thy heaven, the works of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hand. Thou hast put all things under his foot. All sheep and oxen, yea, and the beasts of the field, the fowls of the air, and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passes through the path of the sea. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. I like several verses from this psalm. So the first thing I like about it is what's in verse 4. There he says, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? Think about that, if you will. What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? If you really stop and think about that for a moment, we have the creator of the universe. We can go all the way back to Genesis, where it said, in the beginning, God created heaven and the earth. And then it begins there, a dialogue of what God had accomplished, what God did, and how God had worked with the nations and the people that on this planet to accomplish one thing, that he might take upon himself flesh and visit us. And not only to visit, but to redeem us. If you study Hebrews 10th chapter, you find out that he came to glorify God. And in his glorifying God, He paid the penalty price for our sin and made it possible for you and me to be redeemed. Now, whenever Paul comes on the scene and he begins to consider all that God had done in 1 Corinthians, there's a verse there that says this, and Paul proclaims, he says, O Lord, he says, how unspeakable is that gift that you have given to us. And that you, the creator of the universe, have taken time to come into the world in the form of a man. He saw this, and as he considered the story about that baby that came in a manger, he said, how unspeakable is that gift that you have given to us. Folks, listen, that gift that God has given to us is totally unspeakable. Paul could not think of a word to describe all that God done for us. Whenever you think about this holiday season, and you think about all that God has done, you know, you look at the world and what's going on in the world around us, you only have several options to believe. And you can either believe that God did all that he proclaimed that he did in his word, and that God did take upon himself flesh, and as a result of taking upon himself flesh, he is capable of redeeming mankind, all those that will come to him through his son, Jesus. He says, I am able to free you from your sins and the penalty of sin and the consequences of sin. You can believe that this season, or you can believe in one other option, and that is the evolution. And I don't know, sometimes we're like characters about to talk about evolution. But even if you discuss all evolution and the Big Bang Theory, if you begin to talk about all the physics that behind that evolution, it takes a miracle for even that. They say all the things that you look at and see in the universe was condensed down to just a little pinpoint, and then all of a sudden from that little pinpoint there was an explosion and all this come into being. It reminds me of a couple friend of mine. And we were all having a dinner at their house on a Friday night. And the friend's name was Pat and Mark. And they had this great big wood pile out in the back of their house. And matter of fact, we were talking to one of our friends the other day, and he said to me, he said, "Yeah, hey, do you remember that event that took place out there behind Mark's house?" Well, actually, Matt's house. He said, "You remember what happened out there?" I said, "Yeah, I remember." What they did is they had this big pile of wood out there in the very back part of this field. And Mark was the one that did it, I believe. He was the one that was going to light this. They had made this homemade bomb type thing. These guys were about ready to get themselves in trouble. And they put a little tiny wick out. I mean, Mark did. I don't think it's very big, about like that. And Matt said, "Do you think it needs to be a little bit longer on that?" Mark told him, "No," I said, "I think that'll work." And so Matt said, "Well, I'm going to stay up on the porch with everybody else, you know, with the little Bible study that we were having on that Friday. I don't know how this all come about. I don't know. All right." So Mark, he takes that little thing out there and he puts it underneath this pile of wood. And he lights that wick and he starts to walk away and everybody starts to scream, "Hey, buddy, you better run." Because that's a short wick, and Mark made it a few feet away from there. That thing blew up, and they weren't expecting the blast took place. And it demolished that pile of wood. They were totally gone. Mark was laying over here on the ground someplace, had splinters, bark all over and stuff like that. He was fortunately wasn't hurt, and he made it up on the porch, and he got up on the porch with the rest of us, and a couple of them said to him, said, "Thought that wick ought to be a little bit longer." The end result of that is this. Even though that pile of wood blew up and there was an explosion that took place, there was someone behind that that caused that to happen. And folks, I don't care how you think this universe come into existence. It did come into existence from nothing. Notice what it says there, if you would. In verse, I think it's a look at verse 3. It says, "Whenever I consider thy heaven, the works of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him?" With the vastness of this universe, and as large as it is, now stop and think about this for a moment. Here it is that if it wasn't for the sin that man had committed in the Garden of Eden, and if it wasn't for God's love for that individual that had sinned, God would still be invisible. It was his attempt to redeem mankind. He took upon himself flesh and become visible for you and I to know him. And now that we know him, we are like, oh, we proclaim how wonderful or how unspeakable is that gift that you have given to us. We can call it the Son Jesus. We can call it eternal life. We call it a relationship. We call it eternity in his presence. We call it life now. Call of all these things that we've sung about this morning. Evolution. It leaves you hopelessly lost. You know, whenever you have these great men of wisdom debating the existence of the universe, there's different arguments as how the universe come into existence, but the proof that this is all God's creating and God's doing. And the first one is what they call by intelligent design. They say, well, if you look around you, you know that all this had to have a creator behind it because of the complexity of it and how it all is held together. And folks, listen, they can go into different ways of describing if this was changed just a little bit, or if that was changed just a little bit, none of this would work. It all had to come together as with someone behind it, putting it together, and that someone is God. But there's another argument, and that is we call it the argument of conscience. And this can be proven by anyone in this room. Because if you look back in your past, if you're, 20 years old or maybe 30 years old or past that, if you look back in your past, you see things back there that you don't like. I know there's things back in my past. If I could go back, I would change them because I feel bad about them. There's times where I've done things, and the minute that I've done them, I felt bad about it. Evolution can't explain it as to why we feel like that. But they say what they want to do is, and this is their intent, and I think that's the philosophy that we're dealing with everything that is taking place today, and that is to try to deal with the conscience. They can't explain why you and I do what we do, or why we feel like we feel when we do bad, or whenever we do things that we don't, and then all of a sudden we begin to feel guilty. They can't explain that, but what they say today is that what we need to do is have everybody agree with everybody. Notice this. We'll have everybody agree with everybody that everybody is right. And if everybody will agree with everybody that everybody is right, then we'll all feel good about ourselves. And if we feel good about ourselves, everything will be okay. And we don't need God to do it. That don't even sound right, does it? And so what we have is these evolutionists or whoever, these wise people say, listen, you have something unique about you, and it's called the conscience. You know what the Bible calls it? It says this. It says it's a still, small voice that speaks to us. And it reveals to us that there is something that is within us, something that lies within us, that if we will listen to it and allow it to lead us, that it will align us with what we call reality. And when it aligns us with reality, it will bring us right into the presence of this baby that we're born on Christmas. And then we will know that this conscience that we have, this still small voice, and all the things that we did that separated us from this God who created everything, can unite us with the God who created everything. And then we will be like Paul. Once we come to know, we would look up to heaven and praise God, thanking him. Oh, how unspeakable is that gift that he gave to us on Christmas morning. Which one would you rather have this morning? The evolution or the creator? All we have to do, listen to the voice and allow the voice. We'll call it the still small voice. Call it the spirit of God. And allow that spirit to lead us to where true wisdom is. It's at the foot of the cross of Jesus. That's what you have. And it's nowhere else. Outside that, you have what the world has today. Total insanity without God. I'll take Jesus. I'm telling you. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. Give me Christmas. Stand with me this morning. Father, this morning we thank you. Thank you for that wonderful gift. Thank you for that unspeakable gift. Thank you, Father, that you have made it so easy for us to have an everlasting relationship with you through your Son Jesus. All we need to do is just listen to that void, that spirit that leads us and tells us we need Jesus. Father, as we sing this song of invitation, if there's any decision that needs to be made this morning, I pray, Father, that they would be made for you, that you would receive the glory as people would listen to the voice that you're speaking in their hearts, a still small voice that will always lead them to reality or truth, which is you. This morning, Father, as we close this service, it's a song of invitation. Again, be glorified as you were on that morning whenever you came into the world. And thank you in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for listening. You have just heard a message from Pastor Ron Duty of the First Baptist Church of Carroll, Ohio. If you would like more information about starting a relationship or growing in your walk with the Lord, please visit our website at www.firstbaptist.life.